Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Tom Cotton writes a letter to the Iranian leadership, the Ayatollahs, saying, you don't have to negotiate with this guy, Obama, because if you do, when he's not president anymore, we'll still be there and we'll take back the agreement. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, so it is interesting, right, that he, you know, writes this letter.
A junior senator.
Yeah. Very new to office. But of course, he gets 47 other Republican senators to sign the letter as well. And of course, that violates, I guess I'll call it a norm, that politics ends at the boundaries or at the water's edge. But I think it tells us a larger story about the fragmentation of party and party discipline, right? That where you can get essentially a freshman senator violating a kind of a longstanding norm and getting most of the party to go along. And even in the face of some, you know, fairly established Republicans saying that this isn't helpful, Bob Corker, who's a Republican from Tennessee and who leads the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, said that this was not a useful letter, that you are mucking with the system. And what you're also doing is undermining the ability to create a bipartisan agreement, right, by creating essentially a partisan dimension to an issue that didn't need to be partisan. You've now assured that the Democrats are going to basically walk in lockstep with Obama's plan, right? Whereas before, you might have been able to kind of negotiate a different kind of agreement. Now you've lost Democrats by putting this into a party frame.
But isn't this just one more piece of proof how much they really hate Obama and will do anything, even violate norms, to do it?
Yes. I think that that's right. And it may not just be about hate. It may also be about the need to appeal to different constituencies. I think clearly there are, I mean, between this and the invitation to Netanyahu, there is a desire to appeal to hawks and I think to Jewish voters, highly sympathetic to Israel, as a way of improving their voting coalition, right? Well, one of the things that we know about the national voting coalition for the Republican Party, thinking about the White House here, is that it's not a strong coalition, right? That they're fighting an uphill battle to get to the White House, and so you need to refashion parts of your coalition. Rand Paul has been very active in this, saying that look, we cannot win unless we begin to appeal to people other than whites. And so, you know, he's gone out and he's had conversations with African-Americans about the overlap between kind of libertarian positions and kind of social issues that may appeal to African-American voters. I think that maybe some of what we see in foreign affairs is an attempt to break the existing Democratic voting coalition such that there will be a pathway or perhaps an easier pathway to national victory.
So how important is that? Jewish voters constitute, I believe, about 2% of the American population. Is that important?
When we're talking about a relatively small margin of victory,
True.
You know, in a few key states, it could be. I don't want to oversell it, but
Florida.
But Florida, right? Florida matters. If they think they can get traction with this, then I think that they're going to stoke those flames.
Now, speaking about hatred of Obama by the Republicans, let's talk about Mitch McConnell and the Loretta Lynch confirmation.
Yeah, so obviously we have this issue where there's there appeared to be a lovely moment of bipartisan consensus on a bill that did a bunch of things, but it's on human trafficking. But among other things,
define human trafficking.
Human trafficking, the movement of persons, although it's mostly women, for the purposes of exploitation.
Okay, go.
One of the things that this did, this bill proposes to do, is to establish a fund for victims through a fine paid by those who are convicted of trafficking offenses. And the fund is, you know, for restitution. But there is a clause in there submitted by some Republicans that the funds can't be used to pay for an abortion. And so the Democrats had not seen that initially. It was kind of, I guess, buried a bit in the bill, or they hadn't read it carefully enough in committee, and discovered it kind of later in the game.
A poison pill.
And they said that this we are not supporting this bill with this language therein. McConnell has basically said, okay, fine, but we are not going to vote on the confirmation of Lynch for attorney general until the bill is, he says, resolved. I'm not, you know, I'm not quite sure what that means.
So they're holding her hostage.
Yes. And so you have this really kind of odd in the sense that it's typical, but odd for the legislative process to have a wildly popular and bipartisan bill, at least on the whole, and a kind of qualified and uncontroversial candidate, and that neither of them are being acted upon in the legislature, in part because the parties simply cannot seem to work together in a way that is constructive. So, and one of the things that's I think disappointing about this is that, of course, you know, the Republicans here were charged, and they had kind of taken ownership, at least rhetorically, of the idea that they would be a governing party. And here you have an example where they haven't been able to do much differently than what we saw in the last several years in the Senate. And so, you know, once again, we're just are forced to confront a Congress that does not seem to function very well.
It seems to me, and we only have 2 minutes, but I want to advance with you the idea that all of this hardball that the Republicans are playing with Obama, which I would say almost reaches the status of hatred, has got to redound badly, because I don't think Americans like bullies.
Yeah, I'm torn on that. I mean, the 2014 election doesn't seem to support that.
But that has to do with turnout, who turned out.
It does, but at the same time, you know, Obama has his popularity is not yet sufficiently high that people seem to be rallying around him. Now, that being said, as the economy improves, right, his numbers, his approval numbers are improving. And you do wonder if with those improving numbers, right, he's now often you'll see him around, you know, 48%. I've seen it as high as 50%, although that might have been a bit of a hiccup. If you'll begin to see the tide turn against certain Republican tactics, but I don't really think we've seen that. We are a polarized country that has a polarized Congress, and that much of the infighting and the dysfunction that we see on display in Congress is a reflection of kind of wider commitments.
It's always wonderful to have our great friend and Union College professor Brad Hayes with us for these conversations. Brad, you bring so much to the table. I so appreciate your doing it.
Thanks, as always, for having me on. It's great fun.